get washed in the Word. That's what we're here. We gathered together tonight. Maybe you got it this morning. I got it this morning. But still, it's in the evening. So morning and evening. And how better time on a Wednesday afternoon to come together and dive into the Word and really soak in some more dew. Because we're going to have Yom Kippur coming up. We're going to be soaking in some rain for a whole day, evening to evening, fasting. And then we're going to have our Shabbat, some more rain. We soak up as much rain as we can, because the more we attain and gather in the Yehovah, His Word is pure, immovable, unshakable, unchangeable Word, the more peace, the more shalom, the more stable we'll be, rather than being in the flesh. How many know that the flesh is enmity against Yehovah? It's temporary. It doesn't understand the things of Yehovah. And so we can no longer lean upon the flesh. We have to lean towards the Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. And so we gather here tonight to gather in some more dew, some rain. And I would like to go into Devarim, chapter 32, and just kind of read over that. I've been doing that since we started our Torah portion, just going through the whole thing. It doesn't take that long to go through the whole chapter of Devarim. When we sit there listening to it, he just reflected back on the song of Moshe, of what was to be for all the generations. And so that's what Yehovah knew was going to happen. He told him it was going to happen. This was going to happen to Israel. And he's supposed to carry this on to generations to come. That will be the former rain and the latter rain. That was the same yesterday, today, and forever, to remind us of the song of Moshe. And it will carry on to Revelation, the song of Moshe and the song of the Lamb. It's the same thing in the Torah. The same unchangeable Word, immovable. And so it draws us closer and closer to Yehovah. And so the more we absorb and the more we learn, and the more we learn through every testing and trial where we are in Him, the more stable we'll be versus rather being in the world whenever a trial will come along. Those who are not set in Yehovah is going to be shaken and moved. Fear is going to come. And it's going to come hard and fast. And we have to go through these trials and these tribulations to see where we are, to test us. Because he says, if it's going to be moved and shaken, it will be. So if we're not planted in it, we're not learning, constantly doing what he says, let's all gather, eyes anew, let's listen, we're going to be shaken and moved. And so you'll see it happen. Some will come, some will go, but we're going to middle, we're going to stay in Yeshua, we're going to stay in Yehovah. So we're going to look at Devarim, chapter 32. And that's how he starts off in verse 1. Give ear, ha'azanu, heavens and the earth. He said, everything come to attention. Yehovah speaking. Let me speak, hear, O earth. The words of my mouth. And we saw throughout the scriptures where he talks about the heavens and the earth. Even the heavens and earth will pass away, but not one dot or a yod of the word will pass away before the heavens and the earth. So it talks about that throughout the scriptures. Yeshua talks about it. We talked about that. Let my instruction fall as rain and my speech drop down as dew, as fine rain on the tender plants and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of Yehovah, ascribe greatness to Elohim. And this is the greatest one that I love right here, because it describes exactly who Yehovah is and how He's stable, and I can be stable in Him, the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are right ruling, an El of truth, and without unrighteousness, righteous and straight is He. And you read it again and again and again. And that's what I become. When I become like my Father, I'll become just like the rock. Perfect, righteous, and straight, just like He is. And so we're learning. A twisted and crooked generation has corrupted itself. They're blemished. They are not His children. Do you do this to Yehovah, O foolish and unwise people? Is He not your Father who bought you, who created you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, let him show you. Your elders, and let them say to you, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance and separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the portion of Yehovah is his people, Yaakov his allotted inheritance. He found him in a wilderness and in a wasted howling desert. He encompassed him, and he made him understand. He watched over him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, bearing them on its wings. Yehovah alone led him, and there was no strange mighty one with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, and he ate the fruit of the fields. And he made him to draw honey from the rock, and all from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock with fat of lambs, and the rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. But Yeshurun, and we talked about that, Yeshurun is Yisrael, grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick. You're covered with fat. So he forsook Eloah, who made him, and scorned the rock of his deliverance. They moved him to jealousy with foreign matters, with abominations they provoked him. They slaughtered the demons, not Eloah, mighty ones they did not know, new ones who came lately, which your fathers did not fear. You neglected. It's a big word right there. The word was neglected. The very thing that kept them immovable, unshakable, prospering, just like he promised. You neglected the rock. This should be a warning for us when we read this. Don't neglect the rock who brought you forth and forgot the El who fathers you. The very one that he created turns and starts leaning on its own thoughts. Thoughts are bad to lean on, and he warns us of those things. And Yehovah saw and despised because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, let me hide my face from them, let me see what their end is, for they are a perverse generation, children whom there is no trusting. They may be jealous by what is not ill. They provoke me with their worthless matters. But I make them jealous by those who are no people. I provoke them with a foolish nation. For a fire was kindled in my wrath and burns to the bottom of Sheol and consumes the earth in its increase and sets on fire the foundations of mountains. I gather evils upon them. I use up my arrows upon them, wasted by scarcity of food and consumed by heat and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts I send upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword bereaves from the outside and fear from within. Both young man and maiden, nurse and child with a man of gray hairs. I said I should blow them away. I should make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. If I did not fear the enemy's taunt, lest their adversaries misunderstand. Lest they say, our hand is high and Yehovah has not done all this. For they are a nation lost to counsel, and there's no understanding in them. If they were wise, they would understand this. They would consider the latter end. How would one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and Yehovah had given them up? For their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies are judges. Their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Amor. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the fierce venom of cobras. It is not stored up with me, sealed among my treasuries. Is it not stored up with me, sealed among my treasuries? Vengeance is mine, and repayment at the time their foot slips. For near is the day of their calamity, and the matters prepared are hastening to them. For Yehovah rightly rules his people, and has compassion on his servants. He sees that their power is gone, and there is no one remaining, shut up or at large. And he shall say, where are their mighty ones, the rock in whom they sought refuge, who ate the fat of their slaughterings and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them arise and help you. Let it be a hiding place for you. See now that I am he and there is no Elohim besides me. I put to death, and I make alive. I have wounded, and I heal. And from my hand, no one delivers. And you see that verse right there? And from my hand, no one delivers? If you think about it, it's cause and effect that happens to every person when they reject Yehovah in disobedience. Moshe was disobedient in one little part, and it shows in there, there was no way Moshe could have control of the day of his death, and he couldn't reverse everything Yah had already put into place. No one can deliver out of his hand. Once it's set, there's nothing you can do about it. There was nothing Moshe could do about it on the day of his death. When it was time for him to go up and die, it was done. He couldn't reverse it, he couldn't stop it, and so it is for all of us. So now decisions that we make, every decision we make, remember, it affects our future. It affects our future. So it's very, very important that we pay attention in the place we are today, right now, to stay focused and do what he says. See now that I am he, and there is no Elohim beside me. I put to death, and I make alive. I have wounded, and I heal. And from my hand, no one delivers. For I lift my hand to the heavens, and shall say, as I live forever, if I have sharpened my flashing sword, and my hand takes hold on judgment, I shall return vengeance to my enemies, and repay those who hate me. I make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword devours flesh. With the blood of the slain and the captives, from the long-haired enemy chiefs. O nations, proclaim his people, for he avenges the blood of his servants and returns vengeance to his adversaries and shall pardon his land, his people. Then Moshe came with Hoshea, the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. And when Moshe ended speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, set your heart on all the words with which I warn you today, so that you command your children to guard them to do all the words of this Torah. For it is not a worthless word for you, because it is your life. You see how important that is? This word is our very life. Our life depends on believing and doing what he's telling us to do in the Song of Moshe. And it was for generations and generations to come. And Yehovah knew that it was going to fail. And he was going to always raise up a remnant because he loved him. And he tells us, this is what happened, because he tells us there's going to be a time where they don't remember him. They don't know who he is. And even when you go in the book of Isaiah and read chapter 65, he even calls the one who's not even asking for him. There was a time that who was praying and seeking and asking God. And he said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And he gave us something upon our asking and requesting. But there's many that he comes to that's not even asking or looking. And wakes him up. It's pretty incredible when you read that in his love towards us. For it is not a worthless word for you, because it is your life. And by this word you prolong your days in the soil which you pass over the Jordan to possess. And yet I spoke to Moshe that same day, saying, go up this mountain of the Abiram, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, which is opposite of Yeriko, and look at the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession. And die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, as Aharon your brother died on Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people. Because you trespass against me in the midst of the children, see, it's a cause and effect. Because you trespass against me in the midst of the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of sin, because you did not set me apart in the midst of the children of Israel. That was a big, important role for him to play right there. And it reflected upon who Yehovah was, and that's what he was supposed to be doing. We learned about that this week. Because you did not set me apart in the midst of the children of Israel, for you are to look at the land before you, but not enter therein, there into the land which I am giving the children of Israel. And you sit there in your vehicle, or at home, and you let this play, and you listen to it, and you put your mind on where they were, and what they did, and what he said that was going to happen again, and where they want to go, and in generation after generation, and even to us today, all the way up to us today, we're learning this. So no one can stop what he puts into motion. Men alter his word, but his true word will never change. The decisions people make on a daily basis alter their lives and are cause and effect result of altering his word and a choice of obedience or disobedience to his true word. Moshe couldn't enter the promised land nor stop the day of his death because he says, from my hand no one delivers. So his word is immovable, his word is eternal, his word is unshakable, it's unchangeable, it's never ending, it's the same yesterday, it's the same today, and it's the same forever, and that's where it is. You know, I was looking in the book of Isaiah 65. Let's go there for a second. I just got to show you something. This is something I read this morning, and I didn't see it at first. How many know you got to read slowly and take your time when you're reading? And if you don't understand it, read it again. And if you don't understand it, read it again. And read it again. And all of a sudden, it's like your eyes see it. And you're like, oh, I see that. I see what he's saying. And that's what my eyes did today, this morning, on Isaiah 65. Here it is. It's in verse 20. Let's start in verse 19. And I shall rejoice in Jerusalem and shall joy my people. And let the voice of the weeping no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more is an infant from there going to live but a few days, nor an old man who does not complete his days. For the youth dies 100 years old. I read that several times. For the youth dies 100 years old. Think about it. One with the wisdom of Yehovah could be 100 years old, but yet it's like an infant. You could be 100 years old and knowing the things in Yehovah is like an infant. Like you just began. It's like the beginning. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be lightly esteemed. It's almost like nothing. And they shall build houses and inhabit them and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the days of my people are going to be as the days of a tree, and my chosen ones outlive the work of their hands. That's huge. That would be hallelujah. You ought to praise Yehovah. When I read that, it says, my chosen ones shall outlive the work of their hands. We look out in the world today, it looks like all the elites, all the ones who reject God, and they got it all in control. They got all the power in this world. They got everything. And Yehovah's people look there almost like nothing. But yet there's a day that all that's going to go away. All the works of their hands, everything that they're doing, you're going to outlive that. All the hard work and all the hard effort and the monies that they gathered and just chewing up the land and devouring it and keeping it gathering all for themselves. It says, you're going to outlive the work of their hands. And my chosen ones outlive the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth children for trouble. It's going to be different. For they are the seed of the blessed of Yehovah, and their offspring with them. And it shall be that before they call, I answer. It's quick. And while they are still speaking, I hear. Wolf and lamb feed together, a lion eats straw as an ox, and dust as a snake's food. They shall do no evil nor destroy in all my set apart mountain, says Yehovah. But I just thought that was pretty good about right there, about an infant from there going through a few days, nor an old man who does not complete his days. For the youth dies 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be lightly esteemed. Slide 14, just kind of review a little bit before we start back up where we ended on Shabbat. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are right ruling. An El of truth and without unrighteousness, righteous and straight is he. A twisted and crooked generation has corrupted itself, they're blemished, they're not his children. Do you do this to Yehovah, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you, who created you, and who established you? I say that pretty often. I say, Father, I just thank you for opening up our eyes to the truth, that we finally get to know who our Creator is. He's our Creator. I was thinking about, you know, if I was God, or if you was God, and you created something in your likeness and in your image, and you loved and did the same things together, and all of a sudden one day, like the Father did with Adam, and he's hiding. He's like, where are you? Hey, we're doing this together. What's going on? What's happening? And so he's changing. He did what he wasn't supposed to. He wasn't no more like his Father anymore. Things are changing. And so that would be kind of hurtful if you had something that you created, and you're out there to join in with it. And it's almost like a domestic cat. Like, I have a domestic cat. I love my cat. It greets me, loves me. It would be heart-wrenching to come home one day and say, hey, Kiki, and he runs away from me. And I try and catch up to him, and he just keeps going away, and just runs away, like as if he doesn't even know me. Think about it that way. It's kind of like it was. I don't want to be affiliated with you. I don't know you. This changes your eyes and your mind and everything. What happened to Adam was a hurtful thing. Can you imagine Yehovah? His creation. And then today, he tries to love us. He tries to share with us. And we're more interested in other things than he. But then as we learn the love that he has towards us, we get drawn more and more. We want to be with him more and more. The more we read, the more we study and find out who he is and what he's like. And his love towards us. His love towards us is incredible. Slide 36. I'm sorry, 37. I'm offset. The opening statement of this song is a clear call that is being set before us all, showing us very clearly that the heavens and the earth are the two permanent witnesses to Yahweh and his Torah. The term the heavens is written in the Hebrew as Hashamayim, where we see the letter He in being used as a definite article, which is rendered in English as the, or in this case, translated in English as the, or in this case, translated as a O, yet still rendering the definite article in the word Shamayim. Strong's H8064, which means heavens and sky. The term, the earth, is written in Hebrew as ha'aretz, where we see the letter he being used as a definite article along with the primitive root aretz, Strong's H776, which means earth, land, and ground. What we can clearly see here, as I have already mentioned, is that by calling for the heavens and the earth to hear, we take note that these two witnesses are the two consistent and permanent witnesses that have been given for all generations. These are permanent witnesses to the word of Yehovah, and therefore by these two unchangeable witnesses, we see how the word of Elohim stands firm and established for the full week of the creation account, and therefore it is established for the full 7,000-year plan of Yehovah, after which a renewed heavens and earth will be brought forth. And you know, in my private time, I have times where I make mistakes, and when I'm repenting, I say, Father, the heaven and earth are a witness against me today. Everything that I did, I apologize. I'm sorry, I ask for your forgiveness. Because heaven and earth is against me when I am rejecting and disobedient to his word, because there is a cause and effect that takes place. Slide 53. the slides are offset from the last time we put them together. They kind of, I go to 51. In Jeremiah 22:9, it says, O land, 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 hear the word of Yehovah. And in Micah 1:2, hear all you peoples, listen, O earth, and all who are in it. Let the master Yehovah be a witness against you, Yehovah, from a subpart heckle. We see the very similar words of Yehovah being spoken by the prophet Yeshayahu, which would have been very familiar to Israel in calling them back to the covenant and being reminded of the song that Moshe taught Israel in Isaiah 1:2. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for Yehovah has spoken, I have reared and brought up children, but they have transgressed against me. The song of Moshe was to be passed down from generation to generation, and these clear words spoken through Yeshayahu would have been a clear witness against the rebellious nation, calling them to repent and return. And that's how it's carried on from generation to generation. Like I was telling Casey, I said, Casey, I said, the song of Moshe, these words of Yehovah, it tells me to teach my children so that you won't forget. And we're going to rear you up in the way that you should go by the example that we live. And this is very important, honey, that you learn this and listen to this. As you grow, you'll be able to do the things that you're supposed to be doing in Yehovah. He commands us to give it to our children and live that life as an example towards them so that they won't veer away from the truth. And it's a clear witness against all of us. That's what he says. We'll go to slide 76. Can't be it. A remnant. 73. A remnant. My slides are offset. We see the similar language being used of a remnant of Yaakov in Micah 5:7. And the remnant of Yaakov shall be in the midst of many peoples, as dew from Yehovah, as showers on the grass, which do not wait for man or delay for the sons of men. The Hebrew word that we talked about translated as rain is matar, Strong's H4306, which means rain, downpour. And we understand the clear terminology being used here in this song of Moshe. We're able to connect this with our prophetic shadow pictures of the two comings of Messiah that is clearly being spoken of here. The instructions of Yehovah shall come down like rain. In other words, the teacher of righteousness will come down like rain in the season of harvest. And you, children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in Yehovah Elohim, for he shall give you the teacher of righteousness and cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain, as before. In Zechariah 10:1, ask Yehovah for rain in the time of the latter rain. Yehovah will make storm clouds, and he gives them showers of rain, the plants in the field, to everyone. The Hebrew word that was used for latter rain is makush, makush, koshe. Strong's H4456, and comes from the same word as Lakesh, Strong's H3954, which means the aftergrowth. And the nominative verb of this is Lakesh, which means to take the second crop, to take everything to glean a harvest. The latter rain is also a promise of provision and blessing that is given for obedience. In Devarim 11:13-14, and it shall be that if you diligently obey my commands, which I command you today, to love Yehovah your Elohim, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your being, then I shall give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, and you shall gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. If his commands were guarded, then Yehovah would send both the early rain and the latter rain. The former and the latter rains are related to the two comings of Messiah. The Hebrew word for early rain is the word yared, Strong's H3138, and is the active participle of the word yara, Strong's H3384, which means to throw or shoot, direct, instruct, teach, and teacher. What we recognize from the early and the latter rain is that with the first coming of Messiah, we can recognize that he came to teach and instruct us. And with his second coming as the latter rain, he is coming to take up a harvest of souls. He is coming to reap, and he's coming on the clouds. These words are used both as references to these two events, in Hosea and Joel. Hosea 6:3. So let us pursue to know Yehovah is coming forth is as certain as the morning, and he comes to us like the rain, like the latter rain, watering the earth. The Hebrew root word that is used for both teacher and formal rain is the root word moreh, Strong's H4175, which means both teacher and rain, and comes from the root word yarah, Strong's H3384, from which we get the term early rain. The word that is used in Joel 2:23 for latter rain is mechush, Strong's H4456. Yeshua Messiah is both our teacher of righteousness, and he's the gatherer of the aftercrop. He has come and shown us the way and taught us through his life, his death, and resurrection, how we are to walk in him and guard the Torah. And when he comes again, will he find faith? Will he find an active faith that is seen in the diligent guarding and doing of his commands when he comes to gather the harvest? Think about it. We get born again. We become a new man. And we start feeding off of his word. And we start becoming like our Father. We start living and breathing, having his being. We can't no longer do the older man. We can't no longer do those things, because they have dead works. That's why we pray. We say, Father, we thank you for giving us a clear, sound mind. A clear, sound mind. A clear, sound mind. I don't know why. Y'all just pray for me for a second. Can y'all pray for me?
Oh, Father. God bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for a clear, clean conscience. I thank you, Father, for a clear, clean conscience from dead works. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for a clear, clean conscience from dead works. I thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And so that's why I wake up in the morning and I thank him for his due of his word. His word is pure, it is whole, and it makes us whole. And so as we consider both the dew and the rain, we can see how both can have a very powerful effect on both those who respond as well as those who do not. In one sense, the dew of Yehovah can picture the gentleness of his word that nourishes the new tender plants, and the heavy rain can be a lavishing of his truth upon a firmly planted, established believer that can handle the capacity of the more of his word. So the more we learn his word and the more we live in obedience to his word, we're like tender plants. And those tender plants, as they gather and they keep working and being obedient to the word and growing and maturing in his word, become a strong plant like a tree. So when the heavy rains come, if you're still that little tender plant and you don't want to grow, you don't want to come on certain times, you don't want to do what the Father's telling, you want to just kind of stay in your safety zone, when the heavy rains come, you might not be able to stand. You'll be like a tender plant washed away. And that's what happens. You won't stand when the heavy rains come. That's why he says, do this at this certain time. You got to listen to the spirit of Yehovah. Do this Do it this way, do it that certain time, like this and like that. It's for a reason. It's for our own good. His word is living. It is powerful and it's secure in our lives. And it's going to hold us when the storms come. I remember when Brother Scott shared with me, you know, when he was going through the toughest time in his life. I don't know what that was like for him to go through that toughest time in his life. But I know at that time, the word that I had in my life was, don't try and rescue anybody. Keep your anchor down. Because if you pick up your anchor, you're going to drift. Keep your anchor down. And so in my life, I was secure in that. I was holding on to that. But I didn't know what Brother Scott was going through on his end. On his end, he was looking for something to hold on to. And that's what he did. And he told me about it later on. He said, I just kept my anchor down. I just kept my anchor down. They wouldn't listen. They wanted to go that way. But the Father was telling me to go this way. And so like that tender plant turned into that strong one, rooted and grounded, that's what he did. And he passed that test. When that storm came, he held. And he's still here today. And he had gone away for a while. And I couldn't understand that. It blew my mind why he went away. But who knows? Jehovah knows everything. He knows everything. He sees when everybody's going through their toughest, darkest time. And nobody knows that darkest, toughest time but you do. I don't know what that's like going through that darkest, toughest time that you go through, Sister Nicole. But I tell the Father, I'm like, wow, you made a powerful, strong woman because she's standing strong and she's still here today and encourages me. It really does. And so when I'm going through a dark time in my life that you don't know about, but I do, it's the most horrible place to be in. It's empty, it's dry, it's dark. And you're looking for that peace. There's no peace there. It's empty. And it's just like the word says. It's like you're lost. You're lost. You're used to this, but that's not there. You're looking for it. You're looking for it. And you ask the Father, please, Father, what I broke, please fix it. I'm sorry. I broke it. Please fix it. Have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. And I looked for the next day and it wasn't there. I'm like, oh, I messed up. Please forgive me. It's dark over here. I'm lost. I can't do without. And all of a sudden that mercy comes. And you want to love and praise him and honor him. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. And it changes you. You don't realize sometimes what you got. So you're about to lose it. And it could be gone forever. And you don't want to lose that what he connects you up with. You need. You need the most. You got to be very, very careful of what you take so lightly. That's why he says in the scriptures to be careful when you start getting fat. Like Yeshurun, they got fat. They got fat. They got relaxed. That's why we go through trials. Be thankful that we go through trials. Be thankful when you don't have fishing trips some days. Be thankful when it's not going the way you want it to. I'm thankful when it doesn't go. Sometimes it gets to being like a headache. Sometimes I'm like, man, it's not easy today. But you need that. Keep yourself relying on him and not yourself. To keep yourself relying on him and not men. You're going to forget about me. You're going to lose me. It's very dark. There's a lot of people that are relying on other things rather than him. They got lost in their mind. He said, don't go in your mind because it's futile. It's against me. He says, go on what is true. Just my word, the spirit and the truth. The spirit and the truth. The spirit, lean not on your understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. I'm your Father. I made you. I created you. You can't depend on yourself. You can't depend on other people, and especially those who have altered his word. You can't alter the word. It's not everlasting. It's not immovable. It's not unshakable. You can't alter what's already pure and perfect. He said, I can't change because I'm pure and perfect. If I change, I die, you die. The whole universe goes away. He's immovable and he's unshakable. He doesn't change. He can't change. And he doesn't purposely come at us to hurt us. We make the wrong move. We alter it. And he has no choice. It's who he is. It comes against us. The heavens and the earth comes against us. The heavens and the earth can be for us, and they can be against us. It's even going to be in the millennium. You won't get no rain if you're not being obedient. Show up on a certain day he tells you to. It's going to be the same thing for 1,000 years leading up to being unshakable, immovable, perfect as he is perfect until we get to meet him. So the bride and bridegroom's going to meet. That's what we're getting ready for Yom Kippur. We're going to spend a whole day fasting, not working if possible. I don't know how anybody schedules, but in my life, I took off on that day. And my goal is I want to get close to him. I want to get rid of the flesh. And I want to keep feeding on what's immovable, unshakable, what's going to keep me. And when the storms of life come, I'm going to be unshakable, immovable, and I won't be in fear of it. People that's not holding on and clinging to him is going to be a fearful, dreadful moment for them. Because they're not holding on to what's true. It's altered. It's mixed. It doesn't work. It's almost like going to your vehicle, I got me a full tank of gas and I'm going to load it up. And you pour it in there the whole time. You've been lied to. You've been tricked in your mind. It's been water the whole time. And you don't go nowhere. Just like the oil. They had all, but the other ones, give me some. You can't. You can't have it. You got to have it the way he said to have it. You should have had it all that time, but you didn't. So that tender plant, we're like that tender plant. We got to do in the morning. We got to do in the evening. It's true. It's real. And it's immovable, unshakable. And we'll keep going throughout Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, do. Wednesday, do. Thursday, do. Friday, do. And when Shabbat comes, we're staying here for a whole day. That's our rain. We're getting the rain of the word. And it's like Sunday morning comes, I'm looking for that whole full day. You know what I mean? And I don't get that full. I get like, I don't know how to explain it. Like I was like, I want it to be Shabbat again. I want it to be Shabbat again. I don't want to leave. I want to stay there. I want to stay there. I don't want to be back here again on Sunday. I like that because you got your work day. And you can't just sit there and read your Bible all the day. You got to have what you had that morning or on Shabbat. You got to work. Everybody's got to work. And the Spirit reminds you. And you learn and you grow. But you can't set it down. You can't relax. And he warns us through Moshe's song, the song of Moshe, all the way to Revelations, don't forget. Don't relax. You're going to end up like Yeshurun. They're going to forget about me and all that stuff's going to come against them and then they're going to be in slavery again like today. Slavery and bondage to another people that's evil and wicked. To those who are not nourished by the daily manna that comes gently with the dew will be at risk of being washed away when the storms come as they are not firmly rooted upon the rock of Messiah, the rock Messiah. In one sense, we can liken the first coming of Messiah as the dew. By him coming as a meek lamb, by his second coming, we can see how he is coming like a mighty shower of rain as the lion of the tribe of Yehuda. So we need to be worded up. We need to be worked, grown and maturing in him for when that time comes. We need to continually grow. You know, we was talking today, me and Pastor, about, you know, our Shabbats. Not Shabbats. About our Torah portions. And you know, there was a time where Brother Scott, he was going to the next Torah portion, and I was still trying to absorb the first Torah portion. And then the next week, I'm like, brother, I'm trying to keep up with y'all. And everybody's getting way ahead of me. I'm like, man, I'm trying to read up on this stuff, but it was overwhelming me, and getting a little bit to be too much for me. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts slowing down and not going through the whole Torah portion, but just little pieces at a time. And the pastor shares with us, they did Torah for 6 years to get to the seventh year. I'm like, oh, so we got to take our time with this. We're not going to get it all in 1 year. So I was telling the pastor today, hey, I'm taking my time. We got 6 years, a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't have to run off to the next Torah portion before we get there. I can take my time. And so now, I'm taking my time with it, and I'm more growing in it, you know, on my own terms, just taking my time with it rather than trying to speed ahead. You know, when you do too much at one time, you don't get everything you really need. When you can sit there and just take your time and read it, and you start seeing things you've never seen before, and start using it, whatever area in your life you're in. I don't know where any of you are, but in my life, and I know in your life, there's a spot in there in those Torah portions. was helping you when you're going through your tough time, to help you learn how to grow in it and mature in it. And that's what it does. And it's powerful. And it works. We who are fully nourished daily in Him and continue to receive the abundant teaching of the revelation of His truth that He came to teach us by revealing His Torah through His life, death, and resurrection in order that we may walk in it, shall not be shaken at the coming heavy rains. We got to get to where Yeshua was when He was laying in the back of the boat. He was resting when the storms came. We can't be in a panic. What shall we do? What shall we do? Haven't I been here with you long enough? Haven't I been here long enough to you see, to hear what I've been doing, to learn what I'm trying to teach you? You could tell in their lives it wasn't mature enough when they were shaken and moved by things. Build your house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I saw a lot of maturity in here, especially when we went through that time of that morning. I'm not going to detail it, but a person that's not rooted and grounded in the Word would have moved and said something, rather than we've learned that it's not us that we should get offensive. It's the word of Yehovah that comes, that's in us, that it's not against us, but it's against Him that certain things happen. You know what I mean? We can't take it. What's that word for it? Huh?
Personal.
That's the word for it. We can't take it personal, because then we're trying to, we start being like we're God, like we're in charge, like we're in control of it, and we can't do that. We're not the judges. We just carry His word. It's not us that they're against. It's Him that they're against. And so if we get offensive and all worked up about it, then we're taking it to, personal. And we can't take it personal. Isaiah 65:2-3. I have held out my hands all day long to a stubborn people who walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. The people who provoke me continually to my face, who slaughter in gardens and burn incense on slaughter places of brick. Isaiah 65:4-5. Who sit among the burial sites and spend the night in secret places, who eat flesh of pigs and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am set apart to you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. See, it is written before me, I'm not silent, but shall repay, and I shall repay into their bosom your crookednesses and crookednesses of your fathers together, said Yehovah, who burn incense on the mountains and reproach me on the hills, and I shall measure their former work into their bosom. Thus says Yehovah, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one shall say, do not destroy it, for there's a blessing in it, so I do for my servant's sake, not to destroy them all. I thought that was pretty incredible to read that right there, that He didn't destroy them all, because we wouldn't be here today if He destroyed them all. He found a little bit in there. And in our time, He's going to find a little bit to carry on from generation to generation. Those who are going to love Him and do what He says and be obedient to Him. And I shall bring forth the seed from Jacob and from Yehuda, an heir of my mountains, and my chosen one shall inherit it, and my servants dwell there. And that's all I have in the slides. We didn't have any more slides. You want to put some wine in?